Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There's a scene near the very end of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. This takes place only in the books, by the way, not in the movie. So if you've seen the movie and you don't remember what I'm talking about, then you have to read the books. But there's a scene near the end of the third book that describes the decline, the end of the kingdom of Gondor. That's the kingdom where humans, where people live. Well, that great author, that great writer, that great seer of so many things, J.R.R. Tolkien, this is what he writes of that downfall, that decline. He says, "The wisdom born out of the West was forsaken. Kings made tombs more splendid than the houses of the living, and counted the old names of their descent dearer than the names of their sons. Childless lords sat in aged halls musing on heraldry, or in high, cold towers asking questions of the star. And so the people of Gondor fell into ruin." These words were published in 1955. These words seem like they could be in the very front of our current events in the news today. Tolkien was no prophet, but he did write on some very Christian themes, and he very closely paid attention to what was going on all around him in the world. Cautionary tales, cautionary stories like this are always there. Always present. Things are always dire, aren't they? Well, I can tell you that one of my favorite ways to explain this and to look at it from a scriptural perspective, from a scriptural point of view, is as a very simple passage of scripture. It's from Galatians chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Christians in the region of Galatia. In Galatians 1, Paul writes, just very similarly as he does to in all of his letters. He writes, 12 different letters. Writes very similarly in all of his letters, but there is one particular addition that I really think helps shed some light on things of a dire nature in the world in which we live. I'm just going to read the first few verses from Galatians 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Here we go. "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the present evil age. Believe it or not, that is very hopeful. It is always, friends, the present evil age. It is always. It was 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this letter. It was the present evil age in 1955 when Tolkien wrote The Lord of the Rings. It is the present evil age right now. And the only solution to the present evils that we are witnessing right now is the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to deliver us from all of the evil. It is easy to look at the world around us and question whether or not we are seeing God's judgment play out right before us. It is easy that when we read passages in Scripture like we have today, to question whether or not we are seeing God's judgment all around us. It's also easy to read the Scriptures that we have today, and they are difficult Scriptures, I'll admit. It's easy to read these Scriptures and come away confused or bewildered, because it certainly seems like some of God's judgment is right on our doorstep, doesn't it? We can very easily look around and see all of the wild things that are taking place all over the world. In fact, we don't have to look all around the world to see awful things that are taking place. We can look very closely at our own church, our denomination, with presentments of the official charges being brought up against our archbishop on multiple levels of abuse. The church is supposed to be different, isn't it? The church is supposed to be above reproach of such things. Nevertheless, trust has been broken, lost, and there must be a way forward. The things that are taking place in the world around us and in our very close world are not necessarily signs of God's judgment or his coming judgment or of the end of times. I mean, Jesus himself said that we will not know when that is happening. But all of the things that are taking place in the world around us are certainly signs of the present evil age that surrounds us and has surrounded every generation since the fall. In the current state of the world and of the church, I do not want to overlook the very simple yet very powerful words that we responsively prayed together just a few minutes ago, Psalm 98. Our psalm this morning, just like Malachi, just like 2 Thessalonians, just like Luke 21, are surely God's righteous judgment, but there is a slight difference, just slight difference, in the nature of Psalm 98. And I don't think that we could fail, I don't think we should fail to notice that in Psalm 98, we see celebration in the midst of judgment. Celebration in the midst of judgment. Well, this reason alone, the fact that in Scripture there is celebration in the midst of judgment, is evidence alone of that God's judgment is indeed pure and right and true and perfect. And there are times that we cannot understand it. There are times that we aren't supposed to understand it. But God's righteous judgment is always perfect and is reason to celebrate. Because we do not mourn as a people without hope, and we do not suffer or endure for arbitrary reasons, and we certainly do not move forward in this life, both in the church and in the world, without the profound justice done by Jesus of Nazareth, especially in his death and resurrection, but also in his coming judgment. So Psalm 98 begins with singing a new song. If you'd like to look, it's on page 7 in your booklet. This is the psalm that is taken, the translation of this psalm, of all the psalms that we say corporately together on Sunday mornings is from the Book of Common Prayer. So Psalm 98 begins with the singing of a new song. In that great prophetic nature of the Psalms, we see that all things are made new, are regenerate, are redeemed, are remade. And as Christians who live on this side of the cross, 2,000 years later, we know all of this, that singing and God's judgment are made perfect through Jesus Christ. He has made all things new, and he is the reason for us to rejoice. He has ascended back into the glory of heaven to reign for all of eternity. Thus, he has won already the victory of salvation. He will never forget his people. And we will never have to endure pain and suffering alone because of him who we celebrate. Therefore, and turn the page, verse 5. Therefore, we have verse 5. We allow our own joy to shine. We allow our own joy to shine, not only us, but the psalmist tells us all of creation joins with us in celebrating God's perfect judgment. God's redeeming work through singing, through rejoicing, through giving thanks. And we praise him with our words, but creation also praises him with the words that creation can sing. We praise him with our words, our actions, our songs of praise. Because then we see at the end of the psalm, it is with his very own righteousness that God will judge the world and all of his very good creation. That is, you and I. We are his very good creation. With equity. God judges us all with equity. To put this all simply, there are times when God tears down in order to replant and bring new life. Again, the psalmist, in the midst of this Psalm 98, records for us the whole of creation singing the praises of God, joining in the celebration of his renewing judgment. The occasional tearing down is always in preparation for something more. 3 weeks ago, we were reminded by Arthur, as we celebrated the Reformation, and we celebrated the work that the Lord is doing within our own congregation, we were reminded that the church, about every 500 years or so, needs to be reformed, doesn't it? Those times of reformation are messy, but they're necessary. Perhaps we are in one of those messy, necessary times of reform right now, both for the church and for the world. That perhaps the church can do what the church is supposed to do. That the church, by the grace and power of Jesus, can mend and heal and reform and renew and thus be the example to the world that forgives, that is obedient to Christ and the teachings of Scripture, that has mercy and courage and compassion and honesty and humility and honest resolve. There is always hope forward through the works that have already been done through Jesus Christ. We are not a people who mourn or suffer or endure without hope, even in the messy necessity of reforming the church. Now, I began with a quote from Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, and I'm going to end up doing the same thing. This is a quote that I've shared with you before. You've heard me say probably two or three times in the last couple of years. And the further along that we go, and the further along that we see things that are taking place in the church and in the world, it reigns ever more true. The conversation goes, I wish all of this hadn't happened in my time. So do I. And so do all who live through such times. But that isn't for us to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that we've been given. Psalm 98 encourages us to rejoice and to celebrate the judgment of God, knowing that it is always good. Not worry about the things and the times of this world, but rather live in this world and work to share the renewing word of Christ in a lost and groaning and hurting world. So we can do that, can't we? I think we can celebrate. We can continue to celebrate. The Lord is doing an amazing and major work right here in our midst through St. John's Parish Church. As we continue to rejoice and celebrate despite the world around us, despite the dangers and the turmoils and the pitfalls, we can celebrate and rejoice to be obedient to His word and to His will, to submit ourselves to His authority. And not grow weary of doing so. So friends, may always we give all of the glory to God. May we always celebrate Him, the work that He has done, is doing, and continues to do, because He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ our Lord.
My waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on You. I depend on You for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on You. I depend on You. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and You are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Where the Spirit leads, as I'm following, I depend on You. I depend on You for the victories still in front of me. I depend on You. I depend on You. You're the way, the truth and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. When I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on you. I depend on you for eternal life, to be raised with Christ. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. I depend on you. I depend on you.